Hey everybody, welcome back to another breakdown. It's another week. I'm Luke Rock, and today I just want to say buenos dias. Because we had a group return from Mexico. They were out there for a whole week spreading the gospel, impacting a community, impacting children, doing practical things with their hands. So today we have some of them along with Pastor Roger Hart in the studio today.
How's it going, everybody?
So Roger, who else is joining us today? I know them, but our listeners may not.
We have a pretty awesome crew today, starting with Essie Stebbings in the house.
Hello.
Miss Savannah Daniels.
Hey, guys.
And Mr. Brady Palazzi.
What's up, everybody?
Well, guys, thank you for joining us today. So why don't you take us into your trip? Roger, just give us a brief synopsis of what the trip was about. What was the focus? What's our relationship with this ministry?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of you have heard us talk about Harvest Hands Ministries or Resplendor de Vida, which is a children's home in Mexico. And our church has and our community has partnered with them for probably 20 years-ish. And we took another trip down there this year with a team of 20. We did some construction projects. We did some VBSs, which are vacation Bible schools for a couple different communities. We took and did dispensas into the colonias, which is taking food into the communities and the local villages. We did a lot of work projects around the site of the children's home as well. So yeah, it was awesome.
Really cool. So, Roger, what would you say was a highlight for you from the trip, personally? Because you led the trip, so you had a broad view, but then also you're very much a servant leader. You lead from the ground.
Thanks, Luke. I was so thankful. I've said this before to the team, and I just couldn't say it enough, but I was just so blessed to travel with our team of 20 from HPC. I just felt like it was such a divine crew that we got to go with. Everybody was invested. Everybody was serving. Everybody just went for it 100%. We didn't hear any complaining. We did some hard things, and we're in some hard situations and uncomfortable travel. And, people were out of their comfort zones, but it seemed like everybody was in it to win it. They just kept going for it. They kept loving the people. They kept spending time with the kids and just investing 100%. Nobody tapped out early. No one kind of quit on us. And it was just a really amazing time to see everybody working together for the Lord with excellence, just having a great time doing it. It was really, really fun.
That sounds great. Awesome. So Essie, have you been on any missions trips before?
I have. I have been on a missions trip a year and a half ago now. I went to Kentucky on a missions trip. And then as a kid, my parents were leading a missions trip with Wally Wilds down in the Dominican Republic. So I went on that one.
That's really cool. So you have a broad range of domestic and then also international missions.
Yes, I do.
So what would you say, considering your experience and your exposures before, how does this trip fit into your walk with the Lord? Was there anything that the Lord showed you? What's your takeaway from this within that context of having gone on trips before?
Mm-hmm. I would say that every other trip that I've been on before, I would say was very chaotic. But this trip was the opposite of that. It was chaotic in the best ways. Like we had fun and it was crazy with all of the kids. But also at the same time, it was just a step away from the chaos of life. And if I had to pick a word to describe the trip, I would say it was just simple. And like the kids down there, like obviously they're lacking so much and there's so much that they don't have. But just spending time with them and realizing that they are so happy and content with the little bits that they do have and just the simplicity of life down there. But just that they still have undying joy in their circumstances.
Now, was there a moment that stood out to you that was impactful for you personally?
Yes, I would say, so we had a construction team go over to, I'm forgetting her name now, but they went over and built a house for this lady. And I wasn't on the construction team. I stayed back with the kids for a lot of the days, painting and doing various projects around the children's home. But Gary, who's a guy who's going to come visit, and we'll be lucky to see him when he comes. He's the best. But he brought a group of us over just to kind of see the construction that was going on. Cool. And I think the moment I just saw the house that the other team who had gone out to work on it, I was just taken back. And I was like, wow. And I think that was the moment where I was like, but all the people who live here in this Colonia Savannah have extreme amounts of joy.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So Savannah, you speak Spanish.
I do.
All right. Would you greet us in Spanish?
Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están?
Ah, very lovely. And Brady, what would you say to that?
De nada.
not estoy bien.
Okay. Brady, come on.
I think he has to go back to your class.
I think he does need to. We need him back.
Brady, you.
I'm out. I already graduated.
We're taking away that King's diploma.
Oh no.
So Savannah, you teach Spanish here at King's.
I do. Yes.
Right. So you're active in our church body life. You and your husband.
Yeah.
And you've gone on this trip. Have you gone before?
Yes, actually, a couple years ago, well, more than a couple now, but my husband and I did a missions trip to a children's home down in Peru 2 years in a row. So that was a similar experience, but very different in a lot of ways as well.
Cool. So what would you say the Lord was showing you on this particular trip?
So many things. But I think the word that stands out for me is just descanso, which means rest. And how to just rest in Him, because there were so many moments, and anybody who's been on a missions trip knows, you don't know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to be asked of you. You don't know what you're doing. And that's the excitement of it. But God just taught me to like just rest in Him. And I had so much peace in so many moments where I have no idea what was coming. I was translating a sermon. I have no idea what they're going to say.
Wow.
And He was
okay.
Just with me. And there
you
was
had to
so
trust.
Many. Of course, just like you said, Luke, like it didn't come out perfect every time. But there were so many moments where He just like gave me the words and they flowed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was hotter than blazes, but I had goosebumps just because the Holy Spirit was at work. So that was awesome.
That's cool. So you were involved with a lot of the language, but I'm sure you did a lot of practical hands-on things as well.
Yeah. So one of the main things I did was go with one of the local ladies there out into the colinas, the pueblos, to pass out what they call despensas, which are these little bags of rice and beans flour when Roger added sugar to the list, which was a really fun thing. I let her kind of take the lead because she's local there, and she told people about the school and how they could get their kids involved. But then we would pray for people, and there would always be this moment where, you know, somebody just came out of their house, their guard is up a little bit. But then there would be a moment where she would ask them, is there anything we can pray for you mm-hmm. for? And they would just flow like with whatever God had already on their heart. And it was just incredible how we could connect with people just in a matter of seconds. And they just tell you, you know, the deepest things that are going on. And so that blessed me.
That's awesome. Brady.
Hello.
How is this trip for you? Have you gone on any other missions trips?
No, this is my first one, and it was very enjoyable.
That's cool. So what's something that you feel the Lord gave you that's making you live differently now than before the trip?
Oh, that is such a good question, because that's like He's given me this one thing on my heart that's really it's just really different. I think He's just given me peace, and I think He's given me a sense of purpose.
That's cool.
After this trip.
That's cool. So, and what happened on the trip that made you realize that you do have a purpose in the Lord?
Just the ability to serve others. That's basically what it is. Just give and serve others. And that's just what fills my spirit more.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. What was something that you really enjoyed doing?
That's such a hard question, because there was so much on that trip that happened that was just enjoyable. I was on a construction team, and I really enjoyed laying down the concrete, and it was pretty fun seeing how messy it was, but it was nice. I learned a new skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. And it's cool to see how, you know, missions isn't this, what I'm getting from everything. And even having just gone to Moldova, you know, the focuses of each trip are different, mm-hmm. but really we're just taking the stuff that we do here and we do it there. We take the life that we live here and we do it there in a focused way and in a slightly, you know, different way, a unified way with people. But really that's the heart of the gospel here and the heart that God wants us to have back at home as well. And I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, every time I go on a trip, it really, it's like God resharpens my life, like a pencil. It's like I'm a pencil, and it's like the missions trip is this sharpener, and he's like, yeah, you are a pencil here, but I'm sharpening you. And I always come back home with a greater sense of excitement for what the Lord has been doing in me and what he will continue to do here at home. It's like you see things at home differently after you've gone on a trip like that. What are some things that you guys and anybody can answer? What's some things that you're seeing in a new way since coming home? Whether it could be in your family, it could be in ministry, it could be inside of yourself personally.
I just want to answer this one. When I came home, it felt like I was coming back to a castle, because it was like I'd never seen my house the same after going into Mexico and seeing all that. Like all the houses were like shacks, and yet everyone was way happier than down here. And it just didn't make sense.
So how are you looking at your life now differently?
Well, for one, I still use the military method when I shower. Even though I have all the clean water. Because it's just like, why put that extra bill on my parents?
Describe that to our listeners. What is the military
method? The military method is when you just turn on the water real quick, get wet, and then turn it off and get soapy, and then turn it on to rinse again.
Okay. All right. Water conservation, the military method. We could all learn from that. You know, I think it's true, like, especially here in America, we have so much stuff. And that's something I've always noticed every time I go anywhere else, is we just have so much stuff, and our life is about accumulating. Which again, as we're going to get into the sermon later, it's like that keeps us from dying to ourselves, because we're just focused on building ourselves up, building our kingdom up. Like you said, like when you came home, you felt like your house was a palace. And I think that that's what a lot of people want is here, is like, we want to have a castle. We want to have our kingdom. So that's awesome that the Lord showed you that, because if you continue to steward what he's shown you, you're going to see life differently. You're going to see things differently. You're going to see the stuff that he gives you differently. I just want to bless you in that, and just continue to ask the Lord to show you what to do with what he has given you. Anybody else? How are you seeing things differently since coming home?
For me, I think it's just the whole idea of joy. Emma was on the trip with us, and she said this thing to us one night during debrief, which every night we do, we go around and share about our days. But she said, happiness is a feeling, because your happiness fluctuates. Like, you can be happy and sad based on your circumstances and the things that are going on around you. But joy is just that undying state of being. Mm. And I really took that to heart and started thinking about it, especially coming home. Because in Mexico, it was just so easy to be joyful, because like Brady's joking about our military showers, but for real, like the military showers,
it wasn't an option.
It wasn't an option. And when you come home, you have the luxury of taking a 20, 30 minute shower if you want to, without having to turn the water off. And just like that is like, those are the types of things that make someone happy. It's like, okay, I have all this money. I'm coming home to a castle. I have the shower. I have, like, even just the things that people in America or that we see as the most basic things. But really just the joy, and like, no matter what, like, even if I do have to take a military shower, just like not letting your joyfulness fade despite your circumstances.
That's awesome. As you're speaking, I just hear, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
And when do we need strength? We need strength all the time, but we need it especially when we are weak. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that the strength is categorized as joy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can I be joyful when I'm in this weak situation? Mm-hmm. But that's the beauty of what we have in Christ, is that He meets us in ways that go beyond the circumstance. It's awesome. So Savannah, what about your takeaway?
Gosh, I can't believe you said joy, Essie, because that was definitely the same thing that's on my mind. And I just felt like it was a gift that got brought through our team, that there was like a mix of younger people and they just brought so much joy.
Yeah.
They could just joke around and be funny. And it made me realize, Roger pointed it out, but I don't spend a lot of time around younger people. And I just really appreciated that. It kind of reminded me of something of Roger had given me a word that whatever I gleaned in Mexico, I was supposed to bring home. And I feel like that was that sense of joy of like letting young people be young people. Let them have their fun, because so much of the time I'm way too serious.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to get stuff done because I'm serious and I'm dedicated and all these things. But what you're saying, like the joy is our strength. Like that's how we actually move through and do the things that need to be done. So
yeah, no, it's awesome. I'm as you were sharing, I was remembering in scripture where these parents bring their children to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the disciples are like, leave the master alone. You know, he has all these other things that he needs to get to. And I think sometimes we as Christians, as we grow in our maturity, it's like we lose some of that childlike wonder and also just the love and the fun and the joy of living, where it's we make it into this serious thing when Jesus is like, no, like this is all about having a relationship with me. This is about you seeing a fruit in your life. This is about you taking the time to be with children and understanding that you have a heavenly father that sees you as his child. I was just today, like I have a friend, he's a recent Christian just 6 months ago, and he was sharing how, because he's reading through the whole Bible, and he's like, dude, Jesus is in the whole thing. He's like, I knew he was in this one passage in Isaiah, but I didn't realize that there was a prophecy about Jesus right at the beginning where, you know, God tells the serpent that the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. And he's so overjoyed about that. And I told him, I said, thank you. Thank you for sharing these things that you're showing me, because you're making me capture more of that joy, that childlike joy of a new believer. Because like I've grown up with this. And that's the thing, when we're around church stuff, when we're around Christian stuff all the time, we grow so accustomed to it. That's like, well, yeah, of course, like in Genesis, like God says that Jesus is coming and he's going to destroy sin. And it's like, no, God says that Jesus is coming, like right at that beginning, in that problem, in the sin that destroyed the world, God was there. And he said, I will send a Messiah who will crush sin, who will crush the serpent. And that's the excitement that we ought to have. So it's important that we're around young people. Yeah. It's important that we're around kids and new believers. Roger, what about you?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a quick little story. We went, and the last few years we've developed a relationship with a family in the village, and we got to celebrate a birthday with them this year and throw a big fiesta for them. And while we were there, we had our team of 20, and we had a lot of young adults and teenagers and just vibrant, young at heart people. And there was like a spontaneous conga line that broke out during during the music in the desert, like dirt's kicking up and dust. And it was just a blast. It was just like goofy and fun. And the whole family of like eight were just laughing and having fun as they watched us goofy Americans dance around at this party. The father, though, got really serious at the end, and he says, thank you so much for bringing this to our home.
Yeah.
You've brought life to our home. You've brought joy. And he said, so many Christians are afraid to show joy, are in worship, and we're singing these incredibly powerful songs about celebrating who God is and what he's done, and we don't even hardly move our feet. Mm-hmm. And he said, to see you guys dancing and celebrating today has brought so much joy to my household. And he was in tears as he just kind of expressed his gratitude for us just, you know, kind of being who we are, you know, just the joy of the Lord pouring out through us. And, just allowing God to bless people through that. It was just so cool to see the Lord move in something that was like almost silly and childish, but it was very powerful, you know?
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I just want to thank you guys all for being here, because we're moving into the message now. And what Pastor Zach was sharing, if someone asked me, how would you sum up what Pastor Zach was saying? And it's just die to self. And we have to die to self. in order for us to fully reap the benefits and the fruits of our life as a Christian, we have to die to self. Now, it starts with a first death where it's like, okay, Jesus died for me, and I now repent and turn to him, and I know that there's nothing in me. I need to die. I need to take so that he can give me his life. And then we have these daily deaths that we die. Like he talked about how Jesus died 1,000 deaths. Like, and you look through scripture, it's like everything Jesus did, it's like, it's not me, it's the Father. I do what the Father tells me to do, that the Father may be glorified. And we now live as Jesus did. And to go on a missions trip, which even if you're not in Mexico, every day of your life is a missions trip. To live on mission requires that we die to ourselves. Mm-hmm. That I say, okay, in this moment, I have a preference, but Jesus, I die to my preference so I can live the way you're calling me to live, so that I can interact with this person the way you're calling me to interact, even if it is acting silly in front of a little kid so that they experience the joy of the Lord.
Right.
So what was your takeaway from Sunday, Roger? Or how would you challenge us to die to ourselves?
Man, I mean, I feel like you hit the nail on the head with the way you just explained it. You know, yeah, I think specifically in regards to a quote unquote missions trip where, you know, you surrender your own will, your time, your energy, your money, and you go to serve other people, kind of as Brady was expressing how the fulfillment he got in that, the purpose he got through that. And, you know, it truly is more blessed to give than mm-hmm. to receive. And I think when you go and put yourself in a situation and live in someone else's neighborhood and put yourself in their shoes and do life from their perspective and you go out of your way and you sacrifice to do that and let the Lord kind of use it however mm-hmm. he chooses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just so cool to see him show up in the most creative ways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been fortunate to travel on so many trips all over. And I feel like I've never been on one where I didn't come back mm-hmm. so blessed, so thankful, seeing the Lord in a new way. Just excited to partner and just to let the Lord work through us. You know, it's just, mm-hmm. It's just exciting.
Oh, it really is. It really, really is. You know, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And a lot of that can look like, I think in a very practical way, I know for me, it's checking my emotions, checking my agenda, where it's like, okay, I'm feeling this, I want to do this, I'm not happy. And when I live in that, when I give life to the negativity, I only look at myself. But when I surrender that, when I, you know, let that fall to the ground, when I allow that to fully die, then God's like, okay, I can use you now. And he allows me to see things differently. Any of you on the trip, was there a moment or moments where you had to put an emotion in check in order to do what you knew the Lord wanted you to do? And if any of you would be vulnerable enough to share that.
Yeah, I'll go first. There's a couple times, actually. I'll start with the easiest one. When we first got there, they were actually out of water in the tanks. And so we had traveled all day. We'd been through Chicago. We went out in the town. We're all sweaty and gross. And we were not able to take showers. Mm-hmm. And so I remember laying in my bed that night and being like, wow, okay, here we go, God. Like, this is what it's going to be about, isn't it? And it wasn't like a bad thing. It was like the initiation, maybe.
Right.
And it was beautiful. It was actually just a surrender mm-hmm. of like, this is not going to go how I want it to go. And I'm going to be just fine without a shower because no one got showers. So we won't notice. Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But then the second piece of that was just the Spanish piece, how I felt like God spoke to me on the way and just said, Savannah, I just need you to lay down what you have and I will make it enough. In terms of the language, you know, because I'm not a native speaker and I've no matter how long I've studied, you know, there's always going to be more things you're learning. And he just gave me so much rest in that. Just lay down what you have and I make it enough. And I watched him do that over and over and over again. And it just brought me to tears. So
that's awesome. Awesome. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Essie, do you have something? I feel like you have something. Yes, you do.
Yeah, I got something. So I went into this trip with knowing I have the comfort of my two best friends being on the trip with me. And I'm not sure if I honestly would have had the strength in me to go if I didn't know they were going to be there with me. So I think on one of the days, it was the first day of work, we were painting, we were all up in the room together, and luckily the three of us had gotten put together. And I was just painting, doing my thing, and then lunch rolls around and they were going out to do the construction team, and the three of us got separated. And of course that was like, it was the first full day. And I needed a heart check because I was like, no, I want to be with my friends. It's more fun. We're singing and dancing while painting, like having a grand old time. But I just felt the Lord say, that's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. This isn't a trip for you to have fun with your friends or for you to be focusing on that.
Perfect. That's great. Yeah.
And so I really just put myself in check, and I honestly felt, here comes this word again, joy about us getting separated, because it gave me the opportunity to actually get to know other people on the trip. Mm-hmm. And those relationships lasted me the whole rest of the week and now into after the trip. So yeah, it was pretty,
that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool.
And the cool thing about what both of you have shared is that is something that you will, that cannot be taken away from you. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord deposited that truth inside of you. So no matter how the enemy makes you feel in other situations, you're like, no, I have this truth. Like Essie's like, yeah, I have this truth. I can do this because me and Jesus, that's enough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if I have friends with me. If I have friends with me, that's great. Mm-hmm. But no, I can do whatever Jesus calls me to do with just me and Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like that is a tremendous freedom that you now have. But it all took that moment of stopping, denying the feeling that you have, offering it up to the Lord to let it die. And then he spoke truth to that feeling. Like Savannah, you could have been, oh man, I really wish I had a shower. And you could have just been thinking that all night. Yeah. And no one would fault you for thinking that, because it's a natural thing to want a shower. Yeah. And that could have been as negative as it got. Just like, right. I just want a shower. But going that extra step where it's like, okay, Lord, I really want a shower. And then allowing the Lord to speak to you and speak truth to that thought where it's like, yeah, you want a shower, but he's sharpening you and he's setting this tone that then carried the rest of the trip. Yeah. Brady, do you have anything you wanted to share?
I just remember being like, Lord, I really want a shower right now.
Oh, okay.
No, I actually did. But yeah. I'm the type of person to want to lock myself in my room and isolate. And it's very hard for me to get out and be present sometimes. Sometimes it isn't, but most of the time it is. So I found myself really trying to surrender there and dying to my flesh there. And I'll say when I did do that, there were a lot of blessings that came out of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. So now since coming home, here's the thing. Like you're bringing this whole new perspective. Because by being in that situation where you had to let your natural tendency die, now you have this at home now too. Where, because the enemy's going to, you're back in your old environment. And it's like with our old environment come old patterns, old thought patterns. But now you have this truth, and it's a truth that's backed up by experience where it's like, no, I can push through. I don't have to isolate. And the Lord uses me when I don't isolate.
Yeah. And I might be calling him out a little bit, but one thing is hard is isolating from my family and my brother. I don't know why. It's just like when you're with them for 18 years, it kind of gets, you know. So, but it doesn't have to be like that. Like it's fun when you put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I think a lot of people just like to hold themselves back.
Yeah.
And kind of hide. But it's like, why do we do that? So it's just really important to just plain up surrender. And more importantly, I think it all starts with surrendering your mind, because that's where kind of everything flows from. Mm-hmm. That's where everything attacks you.
Yeah.
So like, how do you surrender your mind? I don't fully know how to surrender my mind yet, but from my experience, it's just kind of just surrendering, lifting up my hands and saying, God, I need you. Yeah. Please take over my mind.
Amen.
That's kind Amen. Of, yeah, that's kind of it.
Amen.
And from there, it kind of just usually works out when I do that.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. You know, you're saying like, you don't know why we do that. And, you know, Pastor Zach said something on Sunday that that stuck with me. He said, and I'm reading it from my notes. He says, don't let living become so easy that you forget how to die. And I think that that's what it's going back to, is like you're saying, you know, a lot of people do, they want to isolate. And there's other people, like I'll say for me personally, my natural tendency for comfort, because it's doing the thing that's comfortable. The comfortable thing for me is to fill the silence with words, to go and do something, right? You know, I think sometimes we can find ourselves in one or two camps. Like, I'm just going to generalize. But for you, it's for you, Brady, like you shared, it's like isolating and pulling back. For me, it's always been like Peter in the Bible, like, I got to do something. And that can get in the way of what the Lord really wants to do. Because like, well, Luke, maybe right now I don't want you to do anything. I want you to hang back. Like, I want you to stay present in the spirit, but staying present in the spirit and what the spirit's doing right now doesn't look like you doing something. Maybe it's to give room for somebody else to say something or somebody else to do something. Or even right now, we're just not supposed to. But it's letting that those tendencies in us die so that the Lord can give life to the situation. Roger, do you have any thoughts? Or I see you sitting there and there's some stuff brewing.
Yeah, man. I think about, you know, life as Americans and the Western world as a whole. You know, we're very privileged and blessed and fortunate to have all the things that we have. And, you know, there's very wealthy people in Mexico and in certain places and things like that. But, you know, I'm thinking about what Brady's saying, and it can be really easy, to build our lives for comfort.
Yeah.
And which, you know, there's so many blessings there, and comfortable things and luxuries aren't necessarily a bad thing. But it can hold us back from being free to experience the greater things that the Lord has for us. And I think, cause Zach mentioned it a few times, the passage, "Get behind me, Satan." And, you know, how, yes, I think Peter, he said that to Peter, and Peter was like ready to to war and to,
oh, yeah, he wants to
make
something
it easier for Jesus. He's like, no, you're not going to go through this. This is not right. Yeah. And Jesus is like, dude, like, no. And the fact that Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," shows me that Jesus was fully human, yeah, yet fully God. And there was flesh that he was combating, in a sense, to say, you know, his flesh wanted to say, yeah, Peter, let's like kill these guys and get me out of here so I don't have to suffer. Yet his spirit man was stronger than his flesh. And, yeah, and he overcame that. And he even spoke it out like, no, I'm not going to be tempted by the easy path.
Yeah.
And because of his hard choices and the things that he allowed himself to suffer, we all benefit.
Yeah.
And so often the things that we allow ourselves to suffer, others can benefit. And, you know, we're not saviors, and we're, you know, God, like I've said it before, God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. He invites us into these greater things. And us going to Mexico, you know, we didn't have to go there. But the Lord invited us into an experience, and he invited us into a relationship deeper with him, but also with our other brothers and sisters in a different country. And because we, quote unquote, suffered a little bit, you know, without showers, and we spent money maybe that we could have used for a lot of other things. And we spent time and vacation time and left our families and our kids and we're, you know, and, you know, quote unquote, suffered, you know, I like to think that, not only were we able to be a blessing to others, but I know all of us came back with a greater blessing than what we gave, just with the experience that the Lord allowed us to be a part of, the families that we got to celebrate the Lord with. And that's the way I see it, you know?
Yeah. You know, and Zach was, you know, he emphasized that in the message. He's talking about how, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but
basically what I took away from what he said a lot was, you know, when we get to these hard seasons, it's like, die, like let that hard thing do what it's supposed to do. And so often, like, we impose what we think is like the right outcome, which is getting me out of this. But Jesus said, you know, when he was going to the cross, you know, not my will, yours be done. And to me, like, that's when I'm struggling, when I'm tempted, it's remembering, oh, I'm crucifying myself with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. So I can take what Jesus says, not my will, your will be done. And remembering to pause and go to that place, you derive so much strength. And it's not just this mental exercise. It's real. For those of us that have been filled with the Spirit of God, who have repented and belong to Jesus and the Father as his children, we know that this is real. Yeah. And you see this throughout history with martyrs and people that are able to go through such difficult seasons and lives for the sake of the gospel. It's because it is real, because they do have a joy that transcends their circumstance.
Yeah. And you also get to build history with the Lord when we allow ourselves in these situations, which is what's really happening. And like you said to Essie, you'll take those with you, those truths with you the rest of your life. Nobody can take that from you, because it's something that you've experienced.
Yeah.
It's a truth that you've lived out. You know, if she wouldn't have gone and maybe played it on the safe side or done the easy thing and, you know, she wouldn't have had those experiences. But when we give, when we sow, when we let those, our own will, self-will, our own desires die, then it really, the Lord really always, he always uses it. It's really, really cool.
Amen. So I just want to close with Romans 12, 1 through 2. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen.
So thank you guys for joining us today. Thank you for sharing from your trip. Thank you for inspiring us to live every day for Jesus, to die to the flesh. And Savannah, would you mind just closing us in prayer?
Yeah, not at all. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time to just get to sit down and chew on the word that we received on Sunday. I thank you for the clarity that you brought today, even just in this conversation, about what it is that you want from us, God. And it's so simple, but I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you've imparted the Holy Spirit to us to enable us to lay down ourselves, to realize that our joy really does lie on the other side of surrender to you. And so, God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the Mexico trip. I thank you so much for the protection that you put over our team and for the lessons that we came back with. And God, I pray that you would help us to remember to bring those to our everyday lives, that we live on mission, that we are here to help. And we just thank you again for your Spirit and the little daily messages you give us and the direction that we can take from that. And it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Luke.
All right. And to those of you listening, stay on mission, stay in the Word, and die every day to your flesh, and we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on-